Verse 13, Genesis 6, 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, last time we talked about this reality of sort of the death of the dream of the Lord, in a sense. And we said that, you know, the ark represented that, but then we went back even further to Adam and Eve, and we saw that the true end had already happened, and the manifestation was just the boat, Noah's Ark, and the flood. But in truth, the end of all things happened with the cross. That was where all of us went into death, and where God marked the true end. And you could even say, I mean, this is hard for some people to swallow, but you could even say that the end times started. That was the end of those times, and now for those of us who are in Him, there's a new time. And there's a new heaven and a new earth, but it's not physically. It is the spiritual reality in Christ. And in Him, we find all fullness. In Him, we find true reality. In Him, we are made aware of a new creation by Paul writing in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man, and that's mankind, if man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new, and all things are of God. But that's only a realm of reality that is in Him. That's not in us until we're established in Him. And then being established in Him, that life of Christ fills us, and fills us with life, and fills us with another life, and fills us with a life that, you know, some of us here felt like when we found the Lord, we felt like we needed just a flat out another life, not just a Christian life, not just a saved life. You know, my situation was such that I'd already been living in hell. You know, my home life and all of that, it was already hell. So I wasn't afraid of hell. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but I wasn't afraid of hell. I didn't, you know, that was torment galore in ways that you can't imagine. But, so when I came to Jesus, I just wanted out of this life, you know. And, you know, of course, people talk about suicide and whatever. But Kelly told me that y'all had read the tract there it is. and death is the answer, you know. And that's what you tell somebody, and they go, you know, that wants to commit suicide, and they're going, well, you're the first person who told me that. But they believe that. But then you point them to the death of Christ. You point them to the end of all flesh. The end of all flesh, you know. And so at the cross we find the full reality of that. We find the type and a shadow of that with Noah and his ark. And he says, the end of all flesh has come before me. The time has come. Okay. And more true than at any moment when Jesus hung on that cross, that was it. that could be for you and for me the end of all flesh. And now we would have life, and now we would have his life, and now we would have another life that is not like the law, you know, not after the law of commandments, but of endless life, you know. And that's him. So then we jump to Genesis 6:17. And it says, and behold, I, even I, and this was this was helpful to me to recognize that the end of all flesh wasn't the called the victory of the devil because he defeated God. The end of all flesh was I, even I.
Amen. Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know. And you realize, okay, well, then there's hope in this death.
Yes.
There's hope in this death. And there's this thing called resurrection. And there's and we know in the story of Noah that the resurrection is us moving from one realm of flesh to another realm called the new creation, where you step out of the boat and everything's new. It's fresh. If we can get past the doctrines, it's fresh reality. It is breathable. It touches all of your senses and all of your spiritual senses. It enlivens you to realize you don't have to produce all of this stuff. You just enter into it. And so, and you realize that he is the one who initiated this. He, you know, we fight with our flesh to try to bring an end to it.
That's right.
But I, even I,
yes,
bring a flood upon your flesh. And will destroy all flesh. And you go, yeah, I mean, there's some real, you know, I mean, you know, if you've ever sat in darkness, you know, the scripture says, they that sat in darkness saw a great light. Oh, my God, if you've ever sat in the darkness of your own being.
That's right.
And your own failures and your own bleeding wounds, you know, that won't be healed. You sit in darkness, but then you see a great light. And it's funny because people who think they see, when you're sitting in light, you can't see a great light, as it were. When you're in darkness, it shows up.
Woo.
And you go, now that's for me. And he goes, that's right. It's for you.
Thank you, Father.
It's for you.
Thank you, Father.
It's for you. And, you know, you hear stories of people who died, you know, and then came back and tell you what it was like. Well, I was walking in a long, dark tunnel, and I saw light way down at the, you know, at the end there, and I walked towards the light. And, of course, my life was so bad, I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to be in this dark tunnel and look, and there's going to be a train at the end of the light coming at me. You know what I mean? But it's not. It's Christ. It's his life. It's his reality. And that, you know, his reality can override our reality. It can, the floodwaters of it will flood so much that it'll remove all of that junk. Just literally, just whoosh.
Hallelujah.
And you think crossing the Red Sea and seeing the Egyptians floating in the water was big? This is like, hey, we're going to take care of all flesh.
Amen.
You know. So these words, I, even I, are actually meant to give us encouragement and give us hope. Because if he's doing it, he is not the God of the dead, as it were, but of the living. And he's going to bring us into that. And I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And isn't that an interesting phrase? In fact, I'll address that in a second. Wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Okay, so this is the realm of which he's working. He's working, when we talk about heaven and earth, we're not talking about there's some place up there that's, you know, everybody gets a mansion, and it's everything's streets of gold, which worries me because most of the people I know that think they're going to heaven will be digging up those bricks of gold and taking them to their mansion, you know. You know. So, yeah, and potholes is a trip and break your leg and go, oh, is there healing still? but rather the realm of where the Lord is, the reality of where the Lord is. I mean, people say, I want to go to heaven. What do you want to do? I want to see this or I want to see that. I want to see Jesus.
Amen.
I want to go and I want to fall down at his feet, Lord. And I want to stay there. And I can't imagine going anywhere else. You know, somebody goes, hey, you know, your mansion's starting to get some spider webs in it. You know, I could care less. This is my home.
Amen.
His name's Jesus. And that's where I want to live. And that's where my heart has been before, you know, all this time. I've lived there with this love and desire and pressing in towards him. And this is the fulfillment of that for me. But see, the realm of that is already here now. The new creation is already here now. We're not waiting for that in reality. We just have to be have our eyes enlightened to that reality. And so, from under heaven, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. So, you see that contrast in, you know, you see it in the book of Revelation. You see it a lot. I don't know if you're familiar with the book of Revelation that much, but it jumps scenes constantly. It'll give you a scene in the earth, and then it'll give you a scene in heaven. Then a scene in the earth, and then a scene in the heavens. And in the earth, it's bad stuff going on. And in the heavenly views, it's Christ, and it's the glory of him. And so, well, Revelation 13. Some of you may know this. Revelation 13, verse 11 says this, And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. See, out of the earth. That's our realm unless we live in him. And I am telling you that we can live fully in him. You know, in Paul said, in him we live and we move and we have our being. And that's great, great talk. That's a great scripture, but it needs to become reality. In him I live. In him I move or have my motives come. In him are my motives. And have my being, not just my religious acts or thoughts or whatever, but my being is in him. And everything is drawn from there. But this, I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb.
Right.
And this is a beast. This is an enemy. This is, and we're going, oh, it's the Lamb of God. Oh, because he looks like it. But then it says, and he spake like a dragon.
Oh.
Okay. You have to learn to discern the lamb. The lamb is not how it looks. It's the way he lays down his life. It's the way that he pours himself out. This beast is not going to lay down his life for us. He's going to make you lay down your life for him.
That's right.
And for the Antichrist. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. Don't dwell there. Mm-hmm. You say, you know, we talk about end times and then we put it on something like that. But if that's a reality at all, then don't dwell there in the earth.
Yeah.
Dwell in him now.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Yeah.
You know, oh no, it's coming. You know, well, turn, you know, turn to your Bible, the book of Revelation, and we're going to see how, you know, the end times is going to turn bad, and it's going to be horrible, and there's going to be this and that. And, you know, and you go, oh, my God, you're not helping me, dude. You know, you're bringing fear to my heart instead of hope, you know. But the hope is Christ in you. That's the way to, the waters are parted. That's the way the ark is built. That's the way that the accomplishments of the Lord are taking place in His body.
Glory to God.
And if we're His body, we're not worried. See, here's that. If you're His body just theologically, then you can expect trouble. If you are His body, meaning I'm just a member of Him, that's where I live, that's where my heart is, He's the one I love, He's the one that I want flowing through me to others. And if your life is given to Him like that, because we say, oh, I gave my life to Jesus when I got saved. Well, did you take it back immediately after? You know? I mean, is that what happened? Because, you know, I'm not seeing a lot of fruit. So, well, you know, but I'm saved. I'm secure. Once saved, always saved. You know, and I believe in once saved, always saved, but only in this way. I got saved once, and I plan on being saved forever because I'm going to keep going after Jesus. Yeah. You know, that's my heart. That's a heart thing, though. That's not a doctrine that secures me. I don't need doctrines to secure me. I have His heart, and I have Him in my heart.
Amen.
And that's my rest. That's my rest. And causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And He doeth great wonders, so that He maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which He had power to do in the sight of the beast. What are they deceived by? Miracles. And who is deceived by the miracles? Those who dwell in the earth. Okay. So we're going to see an ark that's lifted up.
Ooh. Yes.
We're going to see that. We're going to see an ark that is lifted up from the earth. And then, well, we'll go on from there. All right, so I want to read some verses out of Genesis 2, okay? So we've been in Genesis 6, but I want to read some out of Genesis 2. And as we do, I want you to think about them because I would like some comments, okay? I would like you to give me some comments on the verses that we read. And it's going to be Genesis 2, 4 through 7, okay? So look at it real carefully or listen, and let's see what comments we can get from these verses. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb in the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All right, there's a lot of things you could choose from there. Anything stick out to anybody?
Yeah. That last verse you read, man became a living soul. And, you know, a lot of translations would say, and man got a soul,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, but, you know, that's not what this is saying.
It's right.
Like, you know, man became a living soul. So I don't really know much about it, but I was just meditating on it. And I was like, do I have a soul or do I have a body, you know, which mm-hmm. am I, my, this fleshly exterior, or am I something deeper within me? So that's just the meditation I've been on. That's what stuck out to me. It's not man was formed and then he got a soul. It's man became a living soul.
Right.
I like that. My, My version doesn't say soul, mm-hmm. so that word stuck out to me. Mine just says being.
Okay.
And so I like that soul better.
Yeah.
I feel like that's more accurate.
So yeah. In the Greek, it's psuche, and it has a real meaning. It's a real, you know, we're not going to look at that right now, so I don't want to get distracted. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
God had not caused it to rain. Mm-hmm. Given the whole thing with Noah, that was interesting.
Good. Okay, and that's right. It had not rained on the earth as of the time of Noah. But so how did God water the earth? What does it say?
Mist.
A mist that came up from the earth. A mist. Okay. Anybody else? Kelly?
Just that there was like, I just noticed that there was a differentiation that there was no one to tend to the earth. So the mist did it. And then God created man, and then it changed a little because they were there on the earth, and I don't know. It just stood out. I don't have any spiritual reason why it did. Just
right. One of the things I kind of caught my eye was that part about man became a living soul, not that part, but that God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And that verse that we read before said, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life under heaven, because it didn't destroy it for those that were in the ark. And one of the things that it kind of said to me is that there's a higher form of life than just the breath of life. The breath. Okay. That's not Christ in you, the hope of glory, you know. And so it says that there's something higher. There's something greater, that God had something intended higher and greater. And one of the other things, did anybody else have any comment on that?
Yeah. That just makes me think, you know, of like nature and how people sort of form a lot of religions about nature, and they see that essence, that breath of life from God, and they're taking that and they're forming that into a religion or into this or that.
Right.
And they're getting something from that. You know, like you said, there's something higher than that, because I do believe the earth and, you know, the heavens and the earth proclaim God, you know, because they have that essence, they have just sort of that living thing about them, you know, they are alive, but they
That's
are made
it.
Alive by something else who
That's
is
right.
the life, the thing that created them, so that,
right.
that stuck out to me.
I was thinking about it too in relationship to all this, that he created life. For example, he created animal life and plant life. He created life, but none of that was him, right? It was life, but it wasn't his life. And he had the power to do that because he's God. But he had not yet. And see, I believe that life goes back to the tree of life. That's the one he wanted us to partake of. You know, not just breathing in us life so that we had life. Because everybody that's alive on the planet right now has life, but they don't have his life.
Yeah.
You know, and so those are just thoughts. Deb?
Yeah, the first sentence said, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. And it just, we've talked a lot about in recent past that the Lord's not an event, or the cross wasn't an event. So this is to the Lord. This is not an event that's happening. Okay, I'm creating the heavens and the earth. He's saying these are the generations. I feel like there's something there with the reality of what's true in him. He's trying to communicate, maybe.
Yeah, good.
It's like, the generations of heaven stuck out for me as well. It's like he's coming from above. Mm-hmm. And he's from that place of the generations of heaven. He's bringing us into the generation of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Bringing that life form. That's why he started the life form, to bring it into the...
Amen.
Amen. There's one other thing here that I found interesting. I'd like to maybe have anyone comment, or maybe no one will have a comment. So I'll read, read up to it. And that is, let's see... verse Well, let's read 4 and 5. These are the generations of the heavens of the earth when they were created, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field before it was in the earth and every herb in the field before it grew. Well, I'm asking y'all. That's verse 4 and 5 again. Genesis 2.
It's all the seeds inside of him, and that's going to come, maybe.
It's got to be that. It's got to be the reality of what's already in him, whether it's manifested as growth or in the earth or whatever. But I just found that so interesting that it was worded that way. And these are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, comma, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth and every herb of the field before it grew. Before it was in the earth, before it grew.
Hallelujah. It's in Jesus.
And you're going, this is all of this came out of him as something that he already knew and had, it already had formed, as it were, in his heart.
Yeah.
And that's an important thing, I think. The things that are in his heart are the things that are real, and they will produce. Okay? And the things that are just of the earth, that are just already here and stuck, they're just a shadow. They're not anything near that. You know, I've said for years that there's a spirit realm. I mean, that spirit realm can be seen in any number of ways, but there's a spirit realm in which God lives, and there is the earth realm in which we live, and we make this realm more real than that realm, but that realm, that God, that realm created this realm. So it's first. And so the things that are there in his heart are the real things. And this is all just a shadow that's being made until we find the real in him. Anyway, I thought those scriptures were just incredibly interesting. So let's go back to Genesis 6 now. And let's look at verse 14 through 16. We read these earlier, but I intentionally skipped over a part because I wanted to bring it up now. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit thou shalt finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. The very simple line that I wanted to point out was this. That's verse 14, and it says, pitch it within and without with pitch. Does anybody know what pitch is?
The glue.
Okay, tar. It's really tar, yes?
Isn't it just like the same word for atonement or something?
Shh, not supposed to say that yet.
No, Jim.
It's a...
She went to Bible
school. You have to let me develop the fact that like, it's what holds together the pieces. It holds together the pieces, right? And yes, it's actually the cracks. It's actually the Hebrew word for atonement.
Glory to God.
The same word. So if you want to find that a lot, go to Leviticus maybe, and you'll see that same word. But so it's interesting that in the Bible it would use that, but it would translate it as pitch, as tar, as something that seals up your cracks.
Thank you, God. And keeps it afloat.
And from that which will destroy you.
Wow.
It keeps the waters that will destroy you out.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, you begin to realize that, okay, so this ark is being built. Yes, it's being built. But God has in mind not just the building of it, but when this thing is put into the thing that destroys everything else, that can get in unless you're sealed.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're sealed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. And so, you know, we can... I mean, don't you think probably, if not Noah, certainly some of his family members maybe are in the boat, it's raining, there's lightning, it's going, you know, because you're in a storm, you know, and you're going, this thing is not going to hold together, you know, start freaking out, you know. Well, okay, guess what? We do that all the time. We're in the ark that is the Lord. We're in Christ, and we're freaking out that, you know, well, you know, it's not going to hold together. Something's going to happen. You know, something's wrong with my part. When I was pitching it, maybe I didn't do it enough.
I didn't do it within.
Yeah. I didn't realize that, you know, I saw Noah over there, and he's really going at it, and I'm over here. Let me draw a little picture right here. You know.
And,
we're going to die. Noah's, Noah's going, look, you're disturbing the animals and you don't want to do that.
Okay?
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Because the beast could get ugly quick. Shut up. All right. So, truth upon truth there. I barely had anything. Yeah. All we know for sure is that Noah threw out the first pitch.
That was it.
That was not important. So.
You don't put all your jokes in your notes.
No, I don't, as a matter of fact. In fact, they pop up just as... I get to hear them the same time you do.
This is true.
And sometimes I laugh. Anybody remember one where I couldn't get over?
Oh, I remember several.
What?
The grubby
hands.
The hands.
Oh, the little...
When you have the little hands reaching out. Your grubby little hands reaching out.
That was hilarious. You were doing it.
Okay, well, I know there's plenty of times that I was like, it was funny to me, but, you know, I'm like...
I mean, I have a memory of a time you were just drinking apple juice, and you were like, this is awful. And then you went back to teaching, and you're like, no, really, this is awful. And you had people come up and try it.
That was when I discovered that you don't brush your teeth before class because you drink it. So recently that happened, right? And I knew what it was. But back then I just thought, this particular bottle is horrible. And I was so convinced, so I gave it to somebody, my own drinking. I gave it. I said, try this.
Kelly, Lindsay, and Mallory.
And I'm going, and they're going one at a time. No, it's just fine. And I'm going, no, it's not.
It's like in the middle of class.
Yeah.
Well, that's me. Yeah.
On the recording.
It's great that they're preserving all of that.
And now we're preserving it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have that film speed, so I got a chance to do that. It's on 4K. Oh, my gosh. We're never
going to
get that.
Deb, go get my phone in the room. I just realized that there was something that I had on there that could be valuable here. Yeah. This might be a good place.
I think it's interesting, just at 16, where, you know, like the one window in the whole thing... It's above, so like, well, the north, the only option is to
look up. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, and I mean, you then that's where the light, the only light, is coming in.
Wow.
So, So the good news is we get to talk about all that in advance of me sharing it. But not really. We are just fine. Okay. Let's see. Okay, what is the deal here? I got it right here and it won't come up. Okay, yeah, I'm going to say yes, Lord. Well, then I wasn't planning on, I absolutely wasn't planning on playing this. I really wasn't. That's the truth. But I'm going to play this. Since I can't play what I wanted to play, which was going to be spiritual and bless you, I'm going to play this.
Warning! Warning! It's the wife! It's the wife!
You have to finish it.
Warning! It's the wife! It's the wife! Warning! Warning!
Listen to his voice.
It's the wife!
Yeah, for whatever reason, this other one is not coming up, so I'm going to trust the Lord. Okay, Genesis 7. verse 17. There's going to be a lot of editing y'all are going to have to do. A lot of editing. Genesis 17, verse 17, or Genesis 7, verse 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm waiting for at least one.
I have high above.
It was lifted up above the earth. Well, it would have to be high if it's above all the mountaintops. and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And we'll talk about that later too. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, all of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance, every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowls of the earth. And they were destroyed from the earth. Amen. And Noah only remained alive. Amen. And they that were with him in the ark. Amen. There it is. There's your environmental principle. Noah only. And they that were with him in the ark. See, it's saying that there's an environment that he built, which you could call him the Lord, you could call him whatever you want, but he built an environment from the Lord that he saw from the Lord. And, you know, that's exactly what Moses did. God called him up into the mountain and he gave him the pattern. And he didn't just give it to him. He saw the pattern from the Lord. And he came down, and before he did, God said, make everything according to the pattern that you saw up here. Okay. And so, let's just say that Shem, Ham, and Japheth never saw the pattern. They only saw the blueprint that he made. Let's just say Noah got it, just like Moses got it. And in doing that, making it exactly according to what he saw and what he heard and what was real, what was there. Remember we talked just a while ago about what was in his heart. That's what's real. And you make it according to pattern here, but you make it so that the real can come down within that. And that's exactly what happened with Moses, because he builds a tabernacle. He makes a place that's after the pattern of that, but it's real enough for God because he comes down into it. And he makes that, that's the environment. That's the true environment. And so that's why I believe that the wording here, because I think it's so interesting. And Noah only remained alive. I mean, that's pretty powerful when you read it, when you think about that. And they that were with him in the ark. Not just they that were with him. They that were with him in the ark. So,
I really like how the King James Version words that. Mm-hmm. It specifies, you know, it starts with, you know, only Noah. It feels more impactful. Because my version, I have New King James. It says, only Noah and those who are with him in the ark are made alive. And I just feel like it puts more impact on it.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. The King James is hard for some people, hard for a lot of people. I understand that. I cut my teeth on the King James, except for I use the Scofield Bible, which some people hate because it has all of the dispensations and stuff. I don't have to look at the dispensation. It has words that are outdated now, like sometimes it says, watch your conversation or something. We go, watch how you talk. But it'll translate the word. It'll put it in parentheses so that you know that you can look over in the margin and see that it means your manner of life. And so there are these kind of things that I like. But for me, but I do use a lot of different translations. I am very strong on taking, let's take another look. Because they can give you an angle that you just go, whoa, that was really good. And I'm not afraid of any translation. It's just that, for me, it just seems like the Lord has really, established me being able to see Jesus in that. And I think I got saved reading the Good News for Modern Man. It's the version that has little pictures in
little
it.
Sketches.
Stuff. Like that. And it was given to me when I was traveling in a singing group around the United States and never used it and everything. And when all that stuff had happened where I ended up wanting to look at it, I opened it up and it has these little stick figure pictures that seem to be impacting according to the verses and stuff. And then years and years later, I'm a minister, man of God, and I'm talking to another minister from another church, and he says, yeah, that Good News for Modern Man is of the devil. And I said, well, that's funny. That's how I got saved.
Wow.
So my point is, God can use any translation he wants to. That's up to him. Okay. All right. So I'm going to read this. On Noah's floating circus and zoo vacation cruise, which they're beginning to find out that it's not really a vacation that I thought I signed up for, the family passed over many lands, because this is a vacation cruise, right? So they pass over many lands, but they don't see any of it because they're all underwater.
That's right.
And they get to see people from many nations floating on top of the
water. Yeah.
And they're thinking, what kind of cruise is this? This is not, this, I'm not even, the only circus I'm seeing is us trying to tame these lions, So you have this environment that you have to see both. You have to see what's alive. And, of course, there's only one window, and I don't think they were looking out at it. But it's like Israel when they crossed the Red Sea and it closed back up and the Egyptians were all dead and floating on the water. It's good to see where you came from. It's good to see what's dead and gone and where the life is going to continue. You know what I mean? And so to me, this sort of picture here that it could not happen at all, to see the death and to realize this thing was all flesh.
Yeah.
You know. Mm. And we have our We have our righteousnesses that says, you know, look at all these dead people floating on the water. How could God kill all these people? But in truth, folks, they were dead already. Mm-hmm. They were. They were already dead. They were not alive in the Lord. They were, whatever life they were living for themselves. Even if they were good people, you know, wrong tree. Mm-hmm. Can I get amen? Amen? Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it.
Yes.
You know, let it be the tree of life, the cross, which is called the tree in the New Testament. So let's see. I guess we're going to eat in just a minute. So I'm going to.
At least 20 minutes. Yeah. Before it hits
oh, you're good.
Oh, well, then.
You're at 45.
We're hungry for the word.
Well,
food can wait.
That doesn't mean that's what you're going to get. Cause
we're
going to
try it out of
you. No. No, I'm going to have. Here, Deb, come up here just a minute. Okay, I want you to sing for us. Okay. When I met this girl in Bible school, she was really something, I'm telling you. She would run. We had a big campus, Bible school campus. Huge. She would run everywhere. She never walked to anything. She ran. She would run. And she worked in the nursery and the whatever, and to do that, she had to drive a big old van, and she was this little bitty thing, and she'd come whipping on campus, you know, shifting gears and whipping through and everything. And one of the things she did regularly was sing, and one of the songs she sang was Noah.
Oh.
So I want to see if you remember the words.
Okay.
So ready? Go.
Oh. Noah, he built an arky-arky-arky. Noah, he built an arky-arky-arky made of wood and gopher sparky-parky children of the Lord.
Arise, shine. Arise,
shine.
Give God the glory,
glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord.
The animals, they came by
twosies, twosies, twosies. Animals, they came by twosies, twosies, twosies. Almost drove them
no.
Crazy, crazy.
No, elephants and
kangaroos, roosies, children of the Lord.
What's the rain one?
The rain, it came. For 40 days, these days it rained and poured for 40 days and rain. Almost drove those people crazy, crazy. Something like that.
Arise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Thank you very much. All right, so we're in Genesis 7, verse 1.
Yay. We're on a journey. While you're fixing
it. Okay, so remember she said, and the animals that came by twosie twosies, right?
Yes.
Elephants and kangaroosies? No, they didn't. They didn't come by twosies. The animals didn't come by twos. Let's read it. Genesis 7, 1 through 3. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and the female, of fowls of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. Anybody shocked that they weren't by?
Yeah. So how many male and how many female do they have then? It's not even.
Well, it didn't matter because some of them are going to be offered up at the end of the trip.
Good point.
There would be an altar. There's always an altar. But I thought it was interesting to hit you with that because we usually think, I know the scriptures, and I'm, you know, and then you go, whoa, what? You know, if we were standing there, we go, one, two, three, four, where are you going? Hold it, back. All right, so I'm going to try to play this again. Let's see if it even comes up. No, you may not.
No.
You probably don't. Let's see. You know, it's just not doing that. Let's see. Here we go. Okay. This is just a song. It's a secular song. But what I want to do with this song is try to get you to get a feel now of being on the ark. And realizing when you're down in the bottom of this thing and you're leaving, it's like you're going away from all the people you knew, all of the places you knew, everything you knew, into a very dark place and into a very lonely place because there's only a few and you don't know what you're going to end up with. Okay, and right now everything just seems dark and scary and rainy and thundering and, you know, waves carrying you further away. So I just wanted to play this, and I wanted you to try to sort of get into the feel of what that might have been like. The name of it's Waves. He tried to preach to him. Thank you. Did that help a little bit? Mm-hmm. You realize how, you know, what's going on. And there's two things working in you. There is, we know God has had us build this environment. We know that. But at the same time, when you're first entering into that and everything, there's a pull from the old. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a pull from the old, and yet there's a drawing, not a pull, but a drawing from the new, saying that you're going to something. You know, it looks scary. This is what you wanted. This is where you live. This is where everything was important to you. But this is where God is, and this is where your life really begins, right here. And so I just heard that song, and I just went, oh, my God, this was perfect for us to feel that. And the waves slowly, because they're moving you toward where God's going to let you out, the new creation, the new creation. And to be able to go ahead and identify with both of that, to see it, to, you know, to make a real decision, as it were, for the Lord in your heart, because there's a real thing that happens with that. But then Jesus is first. Jesus, I'll have you. I'll be with you. I want you. And you, and then within that environment, you begin to feel the presence of the Lord as the dove starts appearing. And, you know, that's coming up, you know, in the story. And when the dove starts appearing, then we know, even before he's come back with something, with proof of the new creation, there is something because it's above. See, we could look up there at that window and see the heavens and look down here and go, well, I don't know, is this really what it's going to be? No, it's not. And we can look up there, and around that window is that dove. And he's going to bring us proof of where we're going. And what it's all about. The Holy Spirit's going to do that to each person as you follow him and go for him. I notice in verse 3 here, this is still Genesis 7:3. And seriously, what time should I quit, though? Just any minute now.
No, 15 minutes.
And look at the picture behind you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a great picture. You're at
57. Okay. So let's just look at this last verse here of 3 and Genesis 7:3. Of fowls of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. That's his goal, is to keep seed alive. We know the seed is Christ, and he wants to keep it alive in us. And his goal is not just to keep people alive. His goal is to keep the seed alive. If we're just people, his goal isn't just to keep people alive. His goal is to keep the seed alive in those that will be an environment for that. And some seed fell upon good ground, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But it's the fruit of life that comes forth from that seed that he's put in us. And so that's it. That's the end of this class, that we need to put on our heart and pray and keep to the forefront of what he's trying to say to us. Lord, we want to keep your seed alive in us, and not just be Christian, not just marrying and giving in marriage, not just this and that, all these different things that are going on, but rather my focus, the reason why I'm in this ark, is to keep seed alive. And you just give yourself to the Lord in that way. This is what you want. Remember, we started out and said, here's true commitment. Commit yourself to what God has committed to. Father, we just come in Jesus' name, and we thank you for your Son, your presence, your movement, the things that you say to our heart, Father. Not the things that Randy says up here, not the things that anyone else says up here, but the things that you say to our heart when you want to reach us, and how you come down and begin to move deep within us. You begin to stir things in us that are maybe we never even knew were in us. You stir those things because that's what we desire. That's what we want. That's what we were made for. That's the direction of our heart that wants to go and cries out for that. So, Father, we don't know what that is for each and every person in this room, much less anyone who listens to this, but we know that you know, and what counts is what's in your heart and what you're committed to, and we want to be with you. We want to always be with you. Yes. We want to keep seed alive, and we don't want to do anything that's going to hinder the seed's growth. We don't want to be seed by the wayside. We don't want to be seed among thorns. We don't want to be seed among rocks and things that'll hold back the growth. We want to keep seed alive. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, sweet dove of God, we ask you to keep moving upon us and bringing us more and more and more to our feet, down to our knees, down to our head on the floor, and saying, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That's what we ask you to do. We ask you to do. We ask you to do. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name and for his sake, not for our sake. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, to thy will, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord, to thy will. Say yes, yes, yes. Sing it again. I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say thank you for these times together, and we ask you that that in between and at night, and Father, when we're, Lord, not working on something or whatever, but we can just hear your voice and or just sense your presence and just be swallowed up of life. Not church life, not religious life. But life with you all the time, all the time. Aware that you are our life all the time. And Father, we just ask you to bless that as you are feeding us. We ask you to bless the food that you feed us spiritually. Bless that food and let it not nourish our bodies but nourish our spirit. And Father, we include our food that we'll be eating today. Bless it. We thank you for that. But Lord, more importantly, the spiritual things of your heart. Like when you broke the bread and you said, this is my body, eat it, put it on the inside of you and be my body. This is my life blood, pour it into you, pour it into you. Like that, Father. Bless that. to nourish our spirit and our hearts toward you, that we may rise like the ark upon the waters above the things of this earth. We ask it in Jesus' name.